Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. After a slow start, the 2021 session of the North Carolina General Assembly is picking up speed as lawmakers dive into a host of important and controversial issues, including the state budget, the pandemic, health care access, voting rights, and even a renewed effort to limit the rights of transgender people, a la the infamous HB2. Recently, I got a chance to catch up with one of the legislature's best-informed members on these and any number of other top-level issues, veteran state Senator Mike Woodard. Woodard told me that while the rancor on Jones Street may have been toned down a degree in 2021, big and important philosophical divides between Republicans and Democrats persist. Well, Senator Mike Woodard, it's great to have you back on News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm happy to be here, Rob. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, it's another active session at the General Assembly in Raleigh this spring. Right now, we're at that period where so much legislation, we're dealing with a flood of new proposals and ideas, some of which might become law, others which will be mostly there for purposes of discussion. But I wanted to ask you at the outset about sort of the tenor of the session. Looking at it as an outsider, it seems maybe sort of slightly some inklings of a little less rancor, perhaps the more serious search for common ground. Am I imagining things?
I'm always hopeful that working along with Governor Cooper and his administration, that those of us in the Democratic Party can reach across the aisle and work with our Republican friends. I know for me personally, I'm co-sponsoring more bills than I have in my five terms here with Republicans this time. We've cooperated a lot more on a number of issues, some not big, others that are fairly big. Mm-hmm. Of course, it often comes down to big issues around budget, healthcare, education, and some of the social issues where we seem to have disagreements and those make the media. But even there, I think we're at least having conversation. I heard Governor Cooper say the other day that his conversations with Senator Berger, Speaker Moore have been, well, you didn't get rid of me, and I couldn't get rid of you, so we're
stuck with each other.
Stuck with each other. We're in the same place we were 2 years ago, and so the Senate Democratic Caucus grew by one. The House lost a few members, mm-hmm. So we're still in a veto-proof. We're able to sustain the governor's veto. So, you know, I hope this the situation we're in and what the voters told us they wanted in the 2020 election gets us to a more cooperative attitude and getting some work done together.
Well, having talked about the possibility of common ground, one issue that continues to divide Republicans and Democrats, of course, is Medicaid expansion. And you've been one of the most outspoken members of the General Assembly in saying that it's way past time for North Carolina to take this step that's been taken by the vast majority of other states. You spoke out on this issue again recently. What's your take on where we are on the possibility of closing the health coverage gap?
I'm more encouraged now than I've been in the 8 years since we decided to reject Medicaid expansion. And I think three things helped drive us to this point: COVID, transformation, and ARP. With COVID, over the last year, we've seen another 250,000 North Carolinians who've lost health care because it was an employer benefit and they got laid off. Right. So that just widened the coverage gap for North Carolinians. Will those folks get back to work? Will they be able to get back on an employer plan? We just don't know. So it is a concern we have that more and more North Carolinians now are without insurance. We think the numbers have swelled to over a million, probably a million two now. 10% of North Carolina's population without insurance. So that's moving us to this place. Our Republican friends always said, well, you know, Medicaid system is broken. Let's transform it. Let's fix it. So we worked hard over the last 5 years, sometimes grudgingly, sometimes together. But last summer, we finally agreed on a Medicaid transformation plan that will take effect July 1st. So that's another obstacle we've removed in being able to expand Medicaid and close the coverage gap. So now that we're on the path to transformation, we've got a system that we're all hopeful and confident will work. The third thing, obviously, is the American Recovery Plan that President Biden signed a few weeks ago after Congress passed it. And, of course, there are incentives for these 12 holdout states that have not passed Medicaid, North Carolina obviously being one of them, that now removes any question about financial burden. Right. Governor Cooper, Dr. Cohen had worked out a plan with our providers to meet North Carolina's 10% without taxpayer money. So our part of Medicaid expansion, North Carolina's part of Medicaid expansion, wouldn't have cost taxpayers a dime. But now there's even more federal money coming here, probably to the tune of about $1.4 billion over a three-year period. So that's just one more hurdle that we've cleared. And finally, I would say, I think the tide continues, I think, to turn on this. And we see poll after poll that North Carolina voters, North Carolina taxpayers, North Carolina residents want Medicaid expansion, access to good health care for themselves, their neighbors, their communities. So that is driving some of this. And I think some of our Republican colleagues are hearing that from their constituents. And we've actually seen a couple of bills that work toward closing the coverage gap in positive ways. So I'm hopeful that this is the session where we'll do that.
Well, we'll sure keep our fingers crossed, and we appreciate your leadership on that. Another issue that remains a very divisive one in our state and around the country these days is voting, access to the ballot. We had a record turnout in the 2020 election, and the fact that we had these new avenues for voting seemed to really be popular with voters and successful. But interestingly enough, there's been a trend across the country, even here in North Carolina, where Republicans did very well and voting was very high, to ratchet back on this, to take us a little bit backwards in the direction of making it harder to vote by mail, harder to vote early. I know you've been a sponsor of reform legislation, even automatic voter registration, another idea that would make it easier for people to vote. Talk to us about where the voting wars are these days.
Well, I'm very pleased that as Democrats, we proposed a number of great bills. I once again filed automatic voter registration, which I'm very keen on having here in North Carolina. It's just a good government policy that enfranchises more voters and gives them that franchise to vote. And we see it work so well in many other states to make voting a state holiday. Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, if we're going to try and make ACC basketball tournament weekend a state holiday, we should make voting a state holiday too. But we've seen attempts by, in fact, the chairs of our elections committee to roll back some of the great gains that we've made. They aren't as egregious as what we've seen in Georgia, Texas, Arizona, but nonetheless, they are going to present obstacles to North Carolinians voting. And to roll back the time mail-in ballots can be received to actually election day. You know, that's really bad. To not allow grants to help support the work of our Board of Elections. I know Durham County, my home county, received one of these grants, and it was a tremendous help in allowing us to receive ballots, to provide staffing, and to achieve a great turnout in Durham County. So we're going to work very hard to stop this bad legislation and work hard to try to implement some of the good voting measures that we've introduced. So it will be a battleground, but you know, I think our arguments are backed by data, by statistics, by facts. What we hear for those who want to roll back the franchise of voting, no facts, no data, just a lot of speculation, a lot of just inferences about voting, but with no proof that we have this corrupt system. Calling it the Election Integrity Act is such a misnomer. when in fact it's just the Election Perception Act. It's just people's perception of something that's going on. And we need to bring the facts and the data to this. And I applaud the work Director Brinson Bell, her staff, and frankly our Board of State Board of Elections have been doing to have a strong, fair system of voting in North Carolina.
We're talking to Senator Mike Woodard, who represents Durham, Granville, and Person counties in the North Carolina General Assembly. I want to talk about the budget. That's another huge issue, obviously, that will dominate the debate over the coming weeks and months. Governor Cooper has put forth his proposal for the upcoming 2 years. Education sort of at the center of that, as is always the case. We have a court order in this state mandating that under the Leandro case that all North Carolina students be offered an opportunity to have a sound basic education, and we know they're not getting that in a lot of places right now. I take it this will be another area in which we'll sort of be we'll be fighting it out over what kind of appropriations we'll have for our public schools.
Again, yes. I mean, there are clear things that our caucus is going to stand for. You know, making sure that we meet the requirements of the Leandro decision, while unfortunately so many of the leadership here and the budget writers here have turned their back on Leandro. And it's just, I guess I don't understand how we could do that when it's a constitutional right reaffirmed by the Leandro decision. And we've seen studies and recommendations around Leandro, but we seem to keep turning our back on those. We're going to continue to fight to make sure that all of our school children get that basic education mandated by the Constitution. So, yeah, we're going to have a lot of discussions around education and how that's going to work for us. You know, another important point which speaks to schools with so many other things is around a bond package. Governor Cooper's proposed what I think is a very reasonable bond referendum in this budget, yet our Republican friends still want to just use the pay-go method, pay-as-you-go. Our needs in North Carolina are tremendous, whether it's basic infrastructure like roads, clean water, sewer, or supporting back to education, our schools. Up in Granville County just last week, the Board of County Commissioners there had to consider whether to spend $20 million to renovate a middle school there or just tear it down and start from scratch with a $30 million school. How many other school districts and county commissioners are facing those kinds of decisions? In Granville County alone, the capital needs beyond just this one school are somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 million. Multiply that times the 115 school districts in North Carolina just to give our kids safe, clean buildings to go to school in as they return and reopen schools is a real challenge. And the environment where students learn and our teachers teach has got to be safe and clean for them. That's just one part of what we're talking about with the bond package. And we could go into a lot more detail about competing budget interests. But at least we've had some conversation around collaboration. Senator Berger's reached out to the Democratic caucus. We have three of our senior members who are working with the budget chairs in the Senate to work cooperatively on a budget. I'm joining Senator Robinson and Senator Fauci in doing that. In each of our sub-appropriations, we've identified a senior member of our caucus to work on some of the specific issues. I'm working with Senator McInnes on transportation. So I hope that this teamwork we've at least exhibited early on will carry through with the budget, and that we'll actually have that big overarching budget we desperately need and not these little mini budgets that we used through the last biennium.
Keep our fingers crossed on that front. We're coming to the end of our time with Senator Mike Woodard. I did want to take a second, though, to ask you about another hot-button social issue that's kind of leapt to the forefront in North Carolina and around the country in recent weeks and months, and that, of course, is the issue of transgender rights and LGBTQ rights in general. North Carolina, of course, went through the terrible experience of the HB2 debacle, but it seems as if maybe the issues come back. We've got a new effort in the General Assembly to try and restrict the rights of transgender people, and I wonder what your take on that might be.
My hope is that leadership will just see this as an attempt by a few legislators to make points with parts of their base, and that we will not get into one of these fights again. The battle over HB2 really hurt us for a long time. It hurt our state as a whole. It hurt the state's economy. It caused a lot of pain and anguish in our LGBTQ community among those folks. My email box has been full of people writing in the last few days, sharing stories about their own experiences as a transgender person or a family member who's a transgender person. I was moved very much last night by a mother who wrote in about her 17-year-old child who's transitioning now, and the concerns and fears that they have if some of this legislation's enacted. It's just unnecessary, and I hope we'll move it, not even put it on the table. It's not anything that we need to be dealing with here. As we've talked about already about so many other issues, education, health care, the economy, that we need to be focusing on, this is simply a divisive issue that hurts people and doesn't move our state forward in a positive way.
Thanks, Senator, for that comment, for that analysis, for all you're doing for our state and for the people of your district. We wish you all the best in the coming weeks and months, and we'll look forward to talking to you later in the year. Thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to be here, Ron. Thank you.
Coming up next, advocates for voting rights are pushing back against the national effort to make access to the ballot harder. And we'll hear about some of the changes they're proposing. Don't go away.